Good morning. Welcome to worship. Good to see you. This Sunday is our designated Mission Sunday, and you can, as usual, designate any special Mission Sunday offerings to the Hosh Ministry. If you're writing a check, you can just put on the memo line Mission Sunday, Hosh, or Famine Relief in Chad, if you wish. We also have another option, opportunity for that. If you see the insert in your bulletin, the Giving Hearts Day is coming up, and Lutheran Brethren Seminary is offering an opportunity for those who give to have their gifts matched up to $100,000. Our of matching funds are available, and you can give online or send a check so it's received by February 10th for your gift to be eligible for those matching funds. And I'd like to show a video here this morning of the ministry of Lutheran Brethren Seminary and how it's equipping servants to do cross-cultural mission work. If you want to go ahead and run the video, Ellie.
Ellie Burke, a young nurse from Connecticut, has had a passion to share the gospel cross-culturally for many years. She spent time at a mission in Costa Rica. She moved strategically to a Tibetan neighborhood in New York City in order to share the gospel with Tibetan people. Still, with all of that passion and experience, she is spending this year studying the scriptures at LBS. Why? I'll let Ellie explain.
I came here this past fall semester to do a CTS program at the seminary because I'm hoping to go to Chad with the LBIM team there. The gospel is maybe not taking deep root, at least not bearing fruit in a way that we can see yet in the areas where our missionaries are working, but the doors are so open for the gospel to be brought. I think it's more important to have a depth of why are you going in the first place and what is the message that we have to bring. And so just being confident in the gospel. And I think the seminary, the way that it's taught here, there's a really humble approach to scripture. We revere scripture and we sit under it, not over it. But at the same time, we don't need to pretend that we can know every single thing. We don't need to make things up where they're not there. And so it's been really a blessing to me just to learn how to be confident in scripture and just kind of rejoice in the truth that's there, but also be comfortable with the mystery that's there too. Just seeing the depth and kind of seeing the gospel and the truths of the Bible come to life and seeing like where did this come from? Where did this doctrine come from? And then being part of the community here where we're free to ask questions and to have discussions and you don't have to always agree. Coming here, it's really been beautiful just to see the body of Christ at work, and the financial support is a blessing because it enables me right now to be able to be studying full time. But besides that, just feeling like part of a body, the feeling of being sent by receiving that support is really a beautiful and a powerful thing.
Your gifts to LBS help us to keep tuition low for students like Ellie. Right now is a great time to partner with LBS through Giving Hearts Day. Your gifts will be transformed into ministry through Ellie's life and the lives of other students like her.
There you have it, a great opportunity to invest in kingdom work by investing in kingdom workers and their training. And speaking of which, and the country of Chad, we're glad to have Pastor Eric back with us, as well as the rest of the Lutheran Brethren Seminary crew who went on a trip to visit the work in Chad, and we're looking forward to getting a report from that. He just got back this week and is... We threw him back into the deep end preaching and teaching this Sunday, so we'll let him catch his breath and give us a report on a subsequent Sunday. But we look forward to that, and welcome back, Pastor Eric. The Tuesday Bible studies, we're not planning to meet this week, as I'm planning to be at Inspiration Point for Pastor's study break this week, the early part of this week. You're interested in subsequent Tuesday Bible studies, we're looking at the book of James, and you can still join in. Those, if you'd like, just let me know, and I'll give you more information. And Shady Oak, we planned to meet, continue meeting, but the meeting times are different each week, so just let me know if you're interested, and we'll get you connected. Deacon Board meets this Thursday evening, 7 p.m., and are there any other announcements that should be made? While you're thinking about that, I just want to give a report to Zach and his dad Craig and I. We're at Eye Point for the men's retreat Friday and Saturday. Great event. And so, guys, the next time it comes around, you'll be hearing about it from them and me, and encouraging more to go. It would be great to see more enjoy that time of fellowship, the Bible teaching, and good food, and a chance to enjoy some outdoor or indoor activity, whichever you prefer this time of year. But good stuff happening out at the Bible camp. Are there any other announcements? All right. Okay, well, let's move on with the beginning of our worship service. We begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our call to worship from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hand. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes it circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults, for keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the skies, the earth, the sea, and how they reflect the majesty of your glory, of a creator who is great and good indeed. And even more, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word, which refreshes our souls, which gives us wisdom and joy. Lord, may we hear your word this morning and be refreshed and be renewed. And may you open our hearts and our lips to sing your praise. We pray your blessing on this service for all who have gathered here. We ask it in your holy name. Amen.
Oh, library.
That's the part of the service where we get to admit in front of each other and in front of God that we're wrong and that He's right. And then we get to hear that because of Jesus, He makes us right. So I invite you to rise as you're able for our confession of sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your grace, we may come to everlasting life. through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given His only Son to die for us, and for our sake, for His sake, forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on His name, He gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them His Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. I invite you to remain standing for our confession of faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Congregation may be seated. As we turn to the Lord in prayer, are there any particular prayer requests you'd like us to share together? We'll, of course, pray for those who are ill or whose lives are interrupted by illness or exposure to others. Well, let's pray. Lord, thank You for giving us the opportunity to gather today in person. Lord, thank You for those who are able to participate in the service online. Pray, Lord, that You would help each and every one who's, especially among our fellowship, affected by illness, Lord, either feeling ill or having to quarantine or otherwise having a disruption of life, of ability to see others, to work, attend school, whatever the case may be, Lord. We pray that through all of these difficulties, You would grant Your help and Your peace, Your patience. We pray, Lord, for those in health care and education and business, those who are entrusted with positions of authority in these realms and in government as well, that You would grant each wisdom, good judgment, courage, endurance, whatever is needed, Lord, for the common good, to do what is good and right in Your sight, and that is helpful for others. Help us, Lord, to endure whatever difficulty we have. We pray for those who mourn, and we pray, Lord, a prayer of thanksgiving for bringing Pastor Eric and the LBS group safely back from Chad, for bringing Kayla back from South Sudan, for watching over others, Lord, and traveling places near and far, even on icy roads in our region. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to be watchful for those who are in need around us, those who mourn around us. Help us, Lord, to be your hands and feet, to show your love to a hurting world. And help us, Lord, in the midst to remember your love for us. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon the preaching of the word this morning, upon Pastor Eric as he brings the message you have given him from your word. Lord, may your word find fertile soil, that the seed of your word might be planted in us again and bear fruit according to your will by your Spirit. So we ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus, and we pray also as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It is wonderful to be back and worshiping here at Stavanger again. Today we're continuing our Tough Questions sermon series, and the question that I will be addressing today is Christianity too narrow? I invite you to rise for the reading of God's Word. Our gospel text for today is John 14, verses 1 through 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. The ancient Romans built an amazing network of roads everywhere that they went, such that the roads from surrounding provinces would always lead back to Rome. This made it convenient for them to connect with these surrounding provinces. It also sped up communication and made travel easy for them in a pre-motorized era. This spectacular system of roads made such an impact that it inspired a phrase that is still being used today: all roads lead to Rome, which has now taken on a figurative meaning that there are different paths, different ways to reach the same goal. Well, many in our culture today view the world religions in the same way. They believe that there may be significant, even irreconcilable differences between the world religions, but they're all just different roads to the same God. This idea has been reflected in sociological studies, one of which found that nearly half of all U.S. adults believe that it doesn't matter which religious faith you subscribe to, because, quote, they all teach the same lessons. As Pastor John mentioned earlier in the service, I just got back here to the United States from a mission vision trip in Chad, Africa. Dan Venberg, the Director of International Mission, took a group of us from the seminary, and we went out to visit missionaries and other locals around Chad in different villages. And so we spent a lot of the time driving. We spent a lot of time on the road. Most of the roads were unpaved, and a lot of the time there were no road signs, so it made it a little bit difficult to navigate. And sometimes we wouldn't pick the right road. Sometimes we'd be going for a while, and then Dan would realize that we're actually getting farther away from where we need to go, And so we'd kind of turn off the road and head for where we expected a road to be. And most of the time we found a road and then we would follow that one. And Dan knew that it was really important to be on the right road because all roads didn't lead to Rome. There was one road, and at the end of it, we would find our missionary hosts, and they would be waiting for us with some food and water and a place to stay for the night. But Dan knew that the majority of the other roads weren't going to lead us there. They were going to just lead us further into the desolate desert. In our text this morning, Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to go and prepare a place for them in his Father's house. And Jesus promises that he will return and he will take them to that place that he is going. He tells them that they know the way to that place, which prompts Thomas to pipe up and say, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And we get Jesus' well-known response, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In this way, we see that Christianity is very narrow. Eternal life, salvation, admittance into the kingdom of God is exclusively through the person of Jesus Christ. There is no other way but through him. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, Jesus tells us, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." All roads do not lead to Rome. Pastor Bruce Hillman, who's serving out at a Lutheran Brethren church in New Jersey, he points out that when people ask the question, "Is Christianity too narrow?" or "Is Jesus really the only way to salvation?" that those people are in some sense asking, "Is God really good?" The idea that God might condemn loved ones simply because they do not believe the right things seems to be a miscarriage of justice. This is fundamentally a question about justice and God's goodness. Those who accuse Christianity of being too narrow often imagine God as being intolerant and a tyrant who's just waiting to condemn us. This false conception of what God is like shows why it is so important that we respond to these kinds of questions in ways that help doubters see the love and the goodness of our God. Because while the way to salvation may be narrow, the answer to the question, "Who is this salvation intended for?" could not be broader. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." The gospel is both narrow and broad. It is radically inclusive and exclusive. Jesus is the only way to salvation, and God desires for everyone to know that way. Atonement for sin is only found in Christ. But John tells us Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Salvation is as inclusive as the universal work of Christ for sinners. and it is as exclusive as Christ alone. But the narrow aspect of the gospel does not exclude love or grace. In his life, death, and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins, Jesus exemplifies love and grace. So I urge all of you, because at one point or another, you will probably come up against a question like this. We live in a pluralistic time. We're not as isolated as we used to be. There are all of these different beliefs and different cultures that surround us, competing voices of authority, saying this is the way, this is the way. So I urge you, when you come up against this question, is Christianity too narrow? Is Jesus really the only way? Don't let that conversation end without discussing the grace and the love that God has extended to the whole world through Jesus Christ. That at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Speak clearly about the narrow road of salvation, but also proclaim God's desire for all to find salvation on that narrow road. Because though salvation is exclusively found in Christ, it is intended for all. It is extended to every Muslim and Hindu, every atheist and agnostic. God desires for all to find salvation in Christ. I also encourage you to hear and to take hold of Jesus' promise to prepare a place for you. Rest in the comfort that He is coming back. He will come back and bring us into His kingdom, that where He is, we may also be. Pastor and speaker Daniel Emery Price said, "I don't fear the narrow gate, because I know the I Am. I know the door, and I know the way. I know the one who walked the narrow way with all of my sins and a filthy Roman cross upon his shoulders. I know the one with nail-pierced hands and feet and a crown of thorns. I know him who spent 3 days dead in a tomb and then walked out again. I know him who ascended into heaven. This gate is wide enough for him alone. It's too narrow for my best works. It's too narrow for my own righteousness and my white knuckles. None of these may join him. Faith in Christ alone may pass through." It's all about Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you from a broken and sinful world, one that has separated itself from you. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world, that he might be our way, our truth, and our life. We thank you for the reconciliation that he has won for us, and we ask that you would give us your wisdom and discernment as we share your gospel with others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Eric. Let us rise for our closing chorus.
Go now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour of every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Know he will guide you in all.
receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.